How can we harness the power of the private sector to reduce plastic waste? On the latest episode of Sustainably Speaking, we talk with Julie Sinewski, Sustainability Director at Dow, and Bridget Croak, Managing Director of Closed Loop Partners, about companies investing in solutions that increase the amount of recycled plastic available to meet the growing demand for recycled content in products and packaging. Tune in and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hi, this is Kevin McCullough. Thanks for listening to the Christian Outlook podcast, where we cover today's issues from a perspective that honors your Christian faith. Our podcast is brought to you through a partnership with the Pepperdine Graduate School of Public Policy. Here's another piece I trust you'll enjoy.
Hey, welcome back. Our culture prioritizes wealth and fame, but undervalues the pursuit of wisdom. When we possess and apply wisdom, however, that's the only way we can achieve so much more for God and for ourselves and others. But we also yield greater impact. Well, Solomon was one of the greatest men in the Bible. He was the son of King David, who took the throne at 19 years old and ruled until he died at age 59. God offered Solomon whatever he wanted, and rather than choosing wealth, fame, or possessions, all of which he gained at some point, Solomon asked for wisdom, which we find in the book of Proverbs. Well, in the Wisdom Challenge, Experience the Life-Changing Power of Proverbs, my two next guests, authors Dan Britton and Ron Forseth, share simple, effective strategy for pursuing wisdom and passing it on. Well, Dan Britton serves as the chief field officer with the Fellowship of Christian Athletes, an organization I love, was a member of as a college athlete, where he's been on staff since 1990. He has co-authored six books. Ron Forseth is a business strategist, mentor, and ultra distance walker. He has lived in many cities and countries, including Mexico, China, Hong Kong, and Mongolia. He is the founding executive editor of churchleaders.com and longtime general manager of sermoncentral.com, the world's largest online community of pastors. Gentlemen, it is a pleasure to have you with us. Welcome.
Thank you so much for having us, Georgine.
Wisdom is something that's considered somewhat arcane by many in our culture today. Can we begin by just defining what wisdom is? We live in an information age, and we might assume that because we can consult our phone, the Oracle of Delphi, and get answers to virtually any question, that we are men and wisdom and women who possess great wisdom. What is wisdom in the information age?
I think there's probably over a million different definitions of wisdom. But obviously, as you come to God's word, God's wisdom is different than the world's wisdom, man's wisdom. I love Chuck Swindoll, one of my favorite Bible teachers. Yes. Chuck Swindoll says, wisdom is seeing things the way God sees things. And when we have the filter and the ability to put everything through the God's eyes, God's heart, God's understanding, that, I believe, is wisdom. Ron has a different definition. He likes the wisdom.
Ron?
Georgine, I like to define wisdom simply as unity with God. When we've got unity with him, we've got his mind, we've got wisdom, and when we've got disunity with him, we fall into foolishness. So unity with God is how I define wisdom.
Oh, great definitions of wisdom, which we generally, as a culture, lack, but the pursuit of wisdom is something that we are encouraged to do. Now, you write about Solomon, and he writes in the Proverbs significant wisdom. He asked for it early on in his life, and yet he was not a perfect man himself. How would you sum up the life of Solomon as reflected in his prayer for wisdom early on, and then the life that followed?
I think the life of Solomon is a great case study, right? You know, we see a guy that literally could have had anything from God. You know, in his dream, God asked him, what do you ask for? He literally said wisdom. Then all the other things got given to him. But yet after that, he struggled, to put that into action. And so, one of the things that Ron and I believe is that you can have all the wisdom at your fingertips. You have all the information, godly information that you desire at your fingertips. But unless you put it into action, it is nothing. So one of the things, Georgine, we say in the book is we say wisdom minus relationship equals nothing. So wisdom plus relationships equals impact and influence. And so I think where Solomon struggled was he might have been the wisest man in the world. He just didn't take that wisdom and infuse it into relationships. That's where it kind of got sideways. the people he led, the people that he married. It just got sideways. And I believe God's wisdom always has to be in the context of relationships.
Can you explain the importance of the three wisdom challenge elements? And we're talking about your book, The Wisdom Challenge, Experience the Life-Changing Power of Proverbs. What are the three wisdom challenge elements?
Sure. Well, it says in Proverbs twice, it says that wisdom is more precious than rubies and nothing you desire compares with her. And so we have to start with the decision that we will pursue wisdom. It's so valuable, but we must pursue it. So pursue is the first element. The second element, as Dan says, he who walks with the wise becomes wise. We have to partner with others as we go through Proverbs. And then it's not something to keep to ourselves. We want to pass it on to others. So when we get done with the wisdom challenge, the next step is to do the wisdom challenge with somebody else and to challenge them to do it with somebody else. So pursue, partner, and pass it on are the three elements of the wisdom challenge.
Why does God put such great value on wisdom?
Well, you know, it's interesting, Georgine, that twice, as Ron has referenced to it in Proverbs, it says there's nothing more valuable than wisdom. We like to call that the nothing promise. Like, there's nothing that can top it. It's a trump card. And so we believe that wisdom challenge, that wisdom promise that God gives us, that if we seek after wisdom, if we ask God, as it says in James, that, hey, if you lack wisdom, ask of God. And what does he say, Georgine? He says, He will give it to you, not just a little bit, but he'll give it to you generously. And so we believe as you press in and you pursue wisdom, you partner with wisdom, you pass wisdom on, that God will actually give you double blessing in the wisdom. And really, that's where it started, Georgine, in 2012 when Ron called me and, as a friend for many years, said, hey, I want to go through the book of Proverbs together. And that's how the Wisdom Challenge began back in 2012.
Oh, that's so incredible. And I just want to pause for a moment and consider what that scripture says. If any man lacks wisdom, let him ask. You think about that. We go to Google all the time when we're trying to find something out. The God of the universe has invited us into his presence to admit, you know, Lord, I lack wisdom. We can ask him, and he promises that he will answer that request. In the same way that he asked Solomon what he wanted, he's given us an invitation to ask him to give us wisdom. That is an incredible invitation, and I wonder how many of us, or rather how few of us, take advantage of that amazing invitation.
I'll tell you, it's that decision to receive God's gift of wisdom that changes everything.
Yes.
If you go back and you look at the life of Solomon, when he did receive it, he received riches, he received dominion, he received knowledge, he was a botanist, he was a biologist. The Queen of Sheba came to him, and there was not one single question she asked that he could not answer because God gave him in wisdom. So it's this gem that we're wise to pursue wisdom and we're fools to neglect it.
Yeah. And we have the advantage of the completed scriptures. We also have the indwelling Holy Spirit. We are essentially without excuse.
Yes. Amen to that. You know, Georgine, it's interesting even to follow up on that is about what we ask for, right? Like, what do we as humans desire to have in our lives? Sometimes wisdom isn't something that comes to the top of our mind. You know, it's interesting, several years ago, a survey asked 700 different people, we documented in our book, they said, if you could say in one word what you would want more in life, what would that be? So they recorded the top 10 answers, and, you know, you had happiness, number one, money, freedom, peace, joy, balance, fulfillment, confidence, stability, and passion. Which that list, Georgine, is a great list of great things that anybody would want to have, even as followers of Christ, what we want to have. But you know what's lacking? The glaring thing that's not in the top 10 list is wisdom. What they didn't say is wisdom. And so I believe the very basic thing that we're talking about, 31 chapters, the book of Proverbs, Solomon's writings, is this very thing called wisdom.
Yeah. Describe for our listeners who don't have this volume in their hands how it's designed.
Sure, Dan, you want to lose that? You want me to?
Go, Ron, go. You're the guy that challenged me. I got the call from you, and you said, hey, let's go through Proverbs together. And I'll say, whoa, let's go.
Okay. So Georgine, we've already talked about wisdom's impact and how it happens in the context of relationship. That's chapter one. Mm-hmm. Chapter two is wisdom's promise. More precious than rubies, nothing you desire can compare with her. Then you've got wisdom's invitation. And we've got this image in Proverbs repeatedly where wisdom stands on the top of the wall at the gates of the city and shouts, come to me and receive wisdom for yourself. And if you don't, you're crazy, you know. And then you've got wisdom's gift in chapter four. And then what's very interesting is in chapter five, we talk about wisdom's tree. And we each have the ability to grow not just a tree, but a forest of trees of people growing in wisdom. And the math of that is astounding because what happens, you do it with 12 people, and those 12 people do it with 12 people. It multiplies and spreads. So that's wisdom's tree. And then there's the legacy that we leave as a result of acquiring wisdom, and the legacy we leave with our families and with those that are in our lives. And then finally, we talk about wisdom's journey, and it takes us through the book of Proverbs, chapter by chapter, with another person. And that's the devotional element where we experience it with another, not just once, but over and over again, like Billy Graham, who actually went through the book of Proverbs every day for more than 70 years. That's more than 840 times through the book of Proverbs. You've got 915 verses in the book. You've got 15,000 words. And if you had just five insights coming out of each one of those words, you have 75,000 insights. That's enough for a new insight every day for hundreds of years. It's just packed. So, but that's how the book's laid out.
Well, and the amazing thing is you can start if you're a new believer and you're 12, or if you've been walking with the Lord for a period of time and you're in your 70s, this is a volume, because it focuses on the wisdom found in Proverbs, that can benefit any reader. Now, I especially appreciate it at the back of the book, as you pointed out, there's a call to go through the book of Proverbs verse by verse, that you have in the book a line segment where my verse, my insight, where people can record the wisdom that they're picking up from God's word as recorded in the Proverbs.
Yeah, it's really like a field manual. We designed it to be like, hey, I buy a book, share it with someone else. I invite them to be my Proverbs partner for the month. And actually, I just mailed out a copy today to a friend in New York that I'm going to be entering into the Wisdom Challenge next month. I can't wait. I'm just finishing up with a friend here in Kansas City that I've known for 30 years. It's been an amazing experience. And Calvin and I have reconnected recently, and given us a chance to be in God's word, and he's already identified three guys he's going to share it with next month. So my friend in New York, I just mailed out today a copy of the Wisdom Challenge to him so he can be able to begin to go through it. But basically, Georgine, I mean, the power is the power of wit, right? You know, before Ron called me and said, hey, I want to invite you into this challenge, I had read a proverb a day for many years. I mean, year after year after year, I just incorporate it as part of my devotion. One part of my devotion is spend 5-6 minutes, read the proverb of the day, 31 chapters, 31 days, easy to remember. But when he said, hey, I want to do it with you, that changed everything. It's like the proverb that says, iron sharpening iron, right? Mm-hmm. And so it was a double blessing as Ron and I began to go through Proverbs together. And I read a chapter, he read a chapter on his own. I was texting him what God showed me. He was texting me what God showed to him. I was learning from him. He was challenged by what I was saying. We are both benefiting kind of this double blessing from God. And I believe Proverbs is meant to do with others, not just by yourself. And so that was the big breakthrough.
Oh, that's just amazing. You know, I've never gone through the Proverbs with someone else. I'm a primary caregiver for my mother, who lives with my husband and me. She's 90 years old, and her vision is such that she's no longer able to read God's word on her own. And I'm thinking, you just give me the thought, I'm thinking maybe we'll take the wisdom challenge and go verse by verse in our devotional together and just do that together. And I think it's going to be a wonderful time, certainly a fellowship. It's in God's word and pursuing wisdom, because that's a lifelong pursuit. This is a beautiful little book that I think that she and I can really benefit by. So thank you for that suggestion.
Yeah, I'm smiling ear to ear, Georgine, just thinking about the month of July, how you and your mom are going to be able to connect in God's word through this wisdom challenge.
Yeah, absolutely. Ron, did you want to weigh in as well?
Well, I just want to say I'm confident God's going to show up and give you guys a gem every single day, and then you can share those gems with each other. So that's 31 times two. That's 62 gems coming your way, and I'm really excited for you guys to experience that together. What a great idea!
I'm excited too. We both read the Proverbs. You know, we're familiar with some of the verses, but to sit down and do that together, I think it will be much more memorable, and I think it will penetrate our hearts more deeply because we're doing that, as you've pointed out, in relationship. Now, where can our listeners learn more about the Wisdom Challenge?
Easy. WisdomChallenge.com. WisdomChallenge.com. We have a great website that we've created with resources, videos. Even as Ron said earlier about the wisdom tree, you can actually go in and start your own tree and begin to have people that you did the Wisdom Challenge with to be able to know the impact, the legacy that you're having, the wisdom legacy that you're having. So WisdomChallenge.com is the place to go to. Or you can pick up our book on any of the outlets like Amazon and Barnes & Noble and other places.
Oh, excellent. I'm already thinking my mom might want to do this with some of her grandchildren and then her great-grandchildren. We can develop a wisdom tree that will give her an outlet for ministry within our small little family. Gentlemen, such a delight to talk with you today, and I appreciate the book that you have written, The Wisdom Challenge, Experience the Life-Changing Power of Proverbs. And I thank you so much for the time that you've taken to talk with us here today about it.
Thank you.
It's been very special. Thank you so much, Georgine. Excited about you and your mom and her kids and grandkids and great-grandkids going through it. That's great.
Thank you so much. God bless.
Thanks for listening to Christian Outlook. Our program is coming to you today in partnership with the Pepperdine Graduate School of Public Policy. It's America's most unique graduate leadership programs offered on Pepperdine's breathtaking campus in Malibu, California. Learn more at publicpolicy.pepperdine.edu. If you enjoy our podcast, take a moment and tell a friend to subscribe today.
Wake up, New York. You smell that? Crispy, salty, a little sweet. Got that aroma that makes you want to do a little shimmy. Smells like money in the bank. Wake up and smell the wind with Bacon, the new scratch-off game from the New York Lottery. It's your chance to win up to $1 million. You must be 18 years or older to purchase a lottery ticket. Please play responsibly.